This is Brain Stew Wrestling. The number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. How is everyone doing? It is Wednesday night, which means it's Brain Stew Wrestling night. We're entering the show with Live It Up by Airborne, or as I call them, AC/DC with a TARDIS. Because they sound just like AC/DC. What's going on? My name is Hammy, and joining me in studio, we have a packed studio tonight. We have Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone.
Yes.
We have some sex appeal on the show tonight because, aside from my gorgeous looks, we have Katie and Tess from Good Girls, Bad Thoughts. Ladies, how are you?
Hi there. I'm good.
How are you?
I liked a little introduction.
It was good.
All right, good. I'm insecure about myself. All right. So, in case anyone didn't listen, go listen to Good Girls, Bad Thoughts. Every week, new episodes drop every Monday, 9 a.m., right here on Brain Stew Radio. And if you listen to a previous show of theirs, we joined their show and talked a little wrestling about the women's division in WWE, which I dare I say was a very fine episode, as all of yours are.
That was a
by
very good
far
episode.
My favorite one to
yeah.
date, I think.
Definitely.
It was a blast to do.
So, guys, go download the episode after you listen to us, of course, and download their episodes. And we mainly discussed the women's division and the history of women's wrestling in WWE. And we finished the show with predicting what we thought was going to be the outcome of the women's championship match at Clash of Champions, which was this past Sunday. So here we are, post-Clash of Champions. Ladies, we are here again. Yep. What were your thoughts of not only the women's match, but the pay-per-view in general?
Fucking disappointment.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. There were some good moments, and I'm talking in general, not the women match. There were some moments in general that were interesting. I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean interesting for real. What did you think, Katie?
The same. There were some things that I didn't quite understand. Like the Cesaro Sheamus match. What the fuck happened?
It was
well done up until they were just like, okay, it's a tie. I'm like,
she just summed
see,
up.
You guys have been watching wrestling for less than a year total, and you're already guessing the booking decisions like we do.
She just summed up what everyone thought about the Cesaro Sheamus match. It was amazing. And then the end happened.
I was like, the fuck, Foley, the fuck, come on. but yeah, I didn't get that. The women's match was a little disappointing to me, but I personally was rooting for Sasha Banks, and it wasn't so much that Charlotte won. It's more, I just didn't understand why Bayley was there. I felt she took away from the match. It should have been.
I completely agree.
The match was against Charlotte and Sasha, and whoever won, whatever, like, I'm clear about who I liked, but it should have been the two of them. They're the rivalry. They're who everyone was in there for. And then they're like, oh, there's Bayley, just to keep it going even more. And now it's going into next week's Raw. And I'm like, yep. Really, people? And what was with Raw the day after? It was just a repeat of the whole pay-per-view.
They were doing a lot of like title rematches and big segments.
Yeah, why?
Because a female presidential candidate and an orange ego monster were debating on TV.
Oh, so they didn't do anything interesting.
So you could miss it and not have to worry.
When they have this big competition where they know they're not going to get much ratings-wise, they're just like, fuck it, we'll do repeat matches.
This moment right here was bizarre. So why did she get mad at Sasha Banks get mad at Bayley for wrestling? I mean, reverse that. Why did Bayley get mad at Sasha Banks for like wrestling?
Because she's got to prove herself. She's going to graduate from the third grade.
Oh, God.
Hey, fourth grade. She ages like a South Park kid. All right.
Because Sasha Banks kind of just like shoved her, and then Bayley was like, "What are you doing?"
I think it was kind of like a because of the shove, like them selling that, like how fiery the whole rival matches get between the three of them.
Okay, so my legit theory is I think Bayley thought, because her and Sasha are like quote-unquote friends, and I know they're actually friends too, all three of them are, but I think she kind of thought that they were going to team up, take out Charlotte.
But then someone would have to win. So either way, they'd have to fight.
It just,
or that they wouldn't try to pin each other. They would try to pin one of the, whoever wins would just try to pin Charlotte.
I will admit that's though, the opening of that match where they did some arm drags and they finished it with a three-way drop kick and then look at each other to tease up the competitive aspect of the match. I liked that, and the match itself was, I felt Bayley was more of an awkward third wheel in this whole thing. I thought she was just there just to be there. I agree 100% with Katie here. The rivalry was Sasha Banks and Charlotte. It should have been those two. Why Bayley was put in the match. As much as I want to see her succeed and she deserves to be on the main roster, it was just an awkward position for her to be in.
What I'm thinking is that, all right, so the way most triple threat matches go, there's the person who's going to win the match that they're going to book to win the match. Then there's the person who's not going to win the match, but they don't want to lose the match. And then there's the person who's there to eat the pin.
But
Bayley was there to eat the pin.
Well, when they did it with Becky Lynch, Sasha, and Charlotte, and there was one other, was that WrestleMania?
Yeah. It was Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha.
Yeah, that was a good match. So why couldn't they do that again?
Because I don't want to just say this as a cop out, but hashtag WWE logic. That's it. That's what it is. Like, we've been trying to figure out why WWE does things the way they do for years now.
Because Vince McMahon's a crazy bastard. But seriously,
He tears his quad. Squatting at 71 years old.
Does the brand split have anything to do with that? Because now Becky's not in the same like realm as Sasha and Charlotte.
I don't know if that's the case. I mean, the brand split, if anything, is helping the women's matches because they're getting more time.
Yeah,
a more diverse competitive field. Yeah. Also,
so like the non big pay per views, like the Raw and SmackDown exclusive pay per views, now only have to do six matches. So those matches each get more time.
Okay.
So in a way, we're getting what we want. We want it, like what started this whole Divas revolution now turn into the women's division.
There
was hashtag give Divas a chance.
That
hashtag has turned into, okay, we got it now. We got longer women's matches. It's just the booking and the storylines being brought into this match. It's just not all good.
Yeah, they didn't really give the women's match much of a storyline. And then
it was bizarre.
Yeah, and then they threw in Bayley like last minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like they really couldn't build up to it.
But you get longer matches like the women's matches, but you also get longer Rusev and Sheamus matches.
Oh, a Rusev and Roman Reigns
match.
Well,
yeah. I meant Rusev with Roman Reigns and Sheamus with Cesaro, which
was... As soon as that match came on, I literally was like, okay, I'm going to straighten up the living room now and go feed the cat. Yeah.
Rusev!
I cannot handle him. He's...
As the crowd's chanting Machka something. Because Kevin Owens...
Machka something. Rusev sucks.
That's a chant because Kevin
Owens... sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because Kevin Owens is the troll king and people just chant things that
he
says.
He's fucking hilarious. Every time I see him, I fall a little more in love. He's the funniest person.
Oh, this music. Ugh.
Oh, God.
I hate him.
For those who didn't watch Raw last week, we mentioned this on the show last week. When Rusev attacked Roman Reigns, or for those of you who are listening for the first time, and Kevin Owens sees this and just says Machka something repeatedly. It might have been one of the funniest moments on Raw that week. With the pay-per-view, my thing with that, I think just the matches were supposed to be as the best matches weren't as good as they could have been.
Well, what happened? Weren't the women supposed to rumored to be headlining?
That was a rumor.
Yeah.
I think eventually they are going to headline, especially now that there's like 17 pay-per-views a year now.
Yeah.
Because of the split, there's literally like extra pay-per-views in the months that don't have like Survivor Series or WrestleMania or SummerSlam or.
You would hope that they give the women a chance to main event a pay per view.
Play at least give them one chance to main event and see how that goes.
Because I feel insulted from this because all throughout leading up to this for the past month and a half almost leading up to this, we all read all over the internet with the news sources all but confirming, hey, WWE is going to really try to push the women's division and let the main event and. They ended up not doing it.
If there's one thing I learned after this is not to trust dirt sheets as much.
But they didn't, and they didn't.
It's not even the dirt sheets. It's the people who go out of their way to really cover what goes on here. Like credible sources.
I think there was a change at the absolute last second. where they were like, we're like, they need to eventually have the women headline a pay-per-view. And now one improvement though is where they were placed. They were two matches before what ended up being the main event.
Yeah.
Which is technically the co-main event, because like, it's not like, or it's not like going to a concert where the second to last band is also important. The second to last match is a match where they're like, we don't care about this one. Just the fans aren't going to care.
Yeah. Just, it's the pee break match. Yeah.
It's so the piss break. Yep. Yeah, exactly. The piss break or the.
There you go. You're using proper wrestling logic there. It is what it is.
Or in this case, the I'm tired of cheering for things. So just give me a match where I can boo everything.
Who is the second to last match?
Roman Reigns versus Rusev.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Because I mean, Roman Reigns is grade A, but. In the looks department.
Oh,
but,
oh God!
He
looks like
to
a
take
beast.
That vest off.
And so true story. I learned this Sunday. Machka means crush.
We Google translated that to figure it out. We had to, but Rusev was the only one that had the. He was being interviewed and he like explained what that meant. Right?
Yeah. He basically Rusev. Whatever random word. Rusev Machka. It's Rusev hit Rusev's crush.
Oh God. Though I did the one moment, it was so bizarre, and I don't know if Lana meant to make it look this bad, but she got up on the apron and she like was like clucking almost at Roman, and then
clucking.
She was like, ah, 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 ah. Like that's the best I can explain it. And then Roman,
wait,
like
that is not being saved as a soundbite right now.
Wait, is she talking to Roman Reigns?
She like went up on the apron and like put her finger in his face. And then like Roman got distracted by the clucking and he turned to her so Rusev could get a punch in. It was really cartoonish. It just okay.
The whole match
sense.
Was cartoonish. But I have to give
like
it to
clucking
her. She
almost
oh,
at Roman.
God.
And
so,
then
clucking.
She was like ah, ah.
So I do have one question about her clucking though. Was it someone interrupting a wrestling match or someone trying to talk to David Bowie in a Jim Henson movie?
No, Mike, it was
oh God.
Great.
just take audio of her clucking and put it with Birdman saying respect, and we got a new YouTube song. Throw some respect on
no,
it.
No, Raven's going to come back. If Raven the wrestler is going to come out of retirement. Oh.
Oh my God.
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Yeah, but then who's going to... Yeah, but if Raven goes back to WWE, who's going to go to Comic-Con and sell used comic books and use scratch-off tickets for the whole weekend?
Very true.
Now, I do give it to Lana, though. She looked classier than usual. Which isn't...
saying
much, but okay. I have to give it to
she
her.
She looks like a high-end prostitute. Like
that's,
a
yeah, that's what she said. That's exactly
yeah.
what I
yeah,
said.
She yeah. said a classy Russian prostitute.
Yeah. Or a Russian prostitute from Florida.
Well, because yeah. she's pretending to be Russian.
Who's not actually Russian, just spent her, like, a couple years of her childhood there.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, because obviously they're putting Roman Reigns with, like, the least charismatic guy in order to make Roman Reigns look better. Do you think that one, that it's working?
She just figured out make Roman look strong immediately.
One, do you think it's working? And two, like, what do you think that has to do to actually make people not boo him so much?
So,
heel turn.
Yeah, well, they need to do that, which oddly enough, if someone like that turns heel, then all of a sudden the fans start to like them because Roman was doing a good enough job when they were making him kind of heelish.
Yeah.
So that's one way. Another way, stop pushing him so strong. Like,
yeah.
Which they've been doing. That's the main problem with Roman Reigns was that they were pushing him before he was ready to be pushed that way.
Yeah.
They need to kind of help him work on his microphone skills, which, I mean, I say is possible, but then at the same time, I think to myself, his cousin's The Rock, who's one of the all-time great talkers, how has he not had help, like, learning how to talk in a wrestling promo?
By the way, John King in the chat room saying, I want to cluck Lana so hard. So that's good use of the clucking.
Did that cluck?
Oh, my God.
Sorry. I need to say that.
I thought my favorite moment was not what I thought it would be. It was every time Chris Jericho was on screen. Every single time. My favorite part was after Kevin Owens won.
Jericho like putting his arm around Kevin Owens like, that's my friend.
See, with all,
one
see,
of the best friends ever. I loved so that. Funny.
And you guys hated Jericho. Now you're both on the list.
I never hated Jericho. I did. I love Jericho.
I will admit, I didn't understand Jericho until the pay-per-view. And he was so absolutely hysterical.
That's my best friend.
That match, I was rolling, laughing. It was so funny. And when he just started taking the feet and ripping them under, like, the thing to get people to trip.
Yep.
Oh, this is so appropriate.
You make me.
And you can tell Kevin Owens does not give a shit.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I know.
He's the guy. Like, Jericho's the girl on the second date who thinks that they're going to get married, and the guy is like, I just want to bang you. Like,
so there was a tag match to end Raw last week. We'll get into Raw eventually, but it was Kevin Owens and Jericho versus Enzo and Cass. Jericho politely, nicely folds up his scarf and gently hands it to Owens, and Owens just tosses it behind him. It was fantastic.
I love the two of them together.
I love the fact that now it's like their whole them being best friends is becoming such a thing that one of the two best friends that were mentioned as being not as good of best friends as Jericho and Owens, being Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson, made a video response on social media to Chris Jericho.
That, are they going to be on Raw next week?
Yep.
Okay,
they're,
cool.
They're on the list. The list of Jericho.
The
list of Jericho is amazing.
Stupid idiots.
Yeah. Can I just say,
I've been calling everyone a stupid idiot this week. Like,
I am very slowly going back to my favorite heel on the roster. Frankly, my favorite person on the roster right now is Chris Jericho, because he is
him and Owens
in the best way possible. He is a maniac. Him and Owens are the heel odd couple.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Jericho is the bombastic, charismatic, you know,
practically Bon Jovian.
Exactly. Yes. And Kevin Owens is just the asshole. It really. Kevin Owens is the Ralph Cramden of this whole thing.
You know what Kevin Owens reminds me of? That big kid on the playground who just says angry things and like punches people. That's all I think of.
So
with
he's
Kevin
a more
Owens.
Violent Eric Cartman then.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Kevin Owens is the pro wrestling embodiment of 4chan, was my description.
By the way, King in the chat room agrees with us. This may be Jericho's best run and in his career. That's saying something. It is. With all the runs Jericho has had in both WCW, ECW, WWE, over 20 years, guys. I'm more entertained by Chris Jericho now than I've been of him in the past 10 years.
Well, he is entertaining. And, I mean, it's not easy to, like, sell a PG, like anger. Like, because he, I mean, he says stupid idiot. And, like, you normally would
and
say that.
And that caught on.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's really hard to sell that. And he does it where it's not, like, it's like just cheesy enough where you're not rolling your eyes, you're laughing with him.
Yeah.
I think he does the greatest like talks during matches when he's like screaming at people and telling them to give up and
What he was doing with Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he told the official at one point, he was like, Ask him if he wants to tap out.
Yeah. And the best part of him and Owens and the team, they both do that well.
It's yeah.
Like they're like during match smack talk from the both of them is great, which is why like the only bad thing about Owens winning the Universal title is that now we can't see a tag title run between him and Jericho.
My favorite Kevin Owens thing, though, is during elimination matches.
Oh, yeah.
When he just sits with the commentators and will literally, like, cross his legs, put his hand, like, fold his hands, and just chat with them.
Yep.
Like, when everyone else is kicking their asses, and he's just like, I'm not going to sweat this.
Owens' character is fourth wall breaking, and he doesn't care. His character is he doesn't care. He's going to go off script. He's going to break the fourth wall. He always makes fun of Byron Saxton on Raw, which is what makes me very happy.
Yeah, but between him and Corey Graves, Byron Saxton takes a beating every week.
I love it. Kevin Owens and Jericho, I didn't think would make a great tag team, but man, they are absolutely killing it right now.
All right. I thought they would be a great tag team because they are two of the better and funniest talkers on the main roster.
They are great. Like, but you worry, like, fantastic. Are they going to overshine each other? Because sometimes two big personalities don't work.
Well,
but they work perfectly.
Yeah, they work perfectly. I mean, the outshining thing would have been a problem if it was Jericho because his main role is putting other talent over.
Yeah.
But they've been one of the better pairings on the main roster. And just, I want to hear more of who's on the list of Jericho, actually.
I want that to continue, too. But speaking of Jericho and putting people over, that's not what he did at Clash of Champions against Sami Zayn.
Well, this is the first match in a feud.
I was so happy that bitch-ass Sami Zayn was on his back. Once again, landed on his back like the bitch he is.
See, I'm starting to come around on Sami Zayn.
I never will. I never will. He is the guy who pledged to frat, and is all of a sudden awesome, and he thinks he's super cool and can just like shove people out of the lunch line, and he's awesome, and he can do parkour, and you know, shotgun a beer, and he's so cool.
She ad-libbed that parkour line as he did the moonsault.
I did.
No, to me, like, he was described to me as a lovable loser, and then his role kind of started to click. Like, he's the guy that just wants it so bad, and he kind of just doesn't get, like, how he's just not going to get a break, and he keeps trying. I mean, he's not my favorite, but I get him now.
So the way I can describe him best is what they did with Daniel Bryan a couple years ago. Like, that's what he's going to wind up being for them, where when he gets the big win, it's going to be a huge payoff with the crowd.
Right.
All right, so we are joined on Skype by former third mic of ours, host of Social Downfall Radio and Stay Tuned Sports, the one and only Mr. John King. What's going on, buddy? King, now's your chance.
Guess that's not going to work.
Perfect description of his internet connection.
Perfect description of what we thought of the tag title match.
I just don't like Luke's and what is their name?
Gallows and Anderson. I don't get them at all. To me, they just look like middle-aged dads who won't give it up. And
let's try this one more time. King? Nope. All right. check your Skype settings, buddy.
Hey, it was audio from the newest episode of The Penalty Box.
Oh, that was mean. That was really mean. I don't good throwback. But anyhow,
do you think that doing a tag team match with the New Day against Jericho and Kevin Owens would be great, or would it be too much personality in the ring?
It would be great. They'd bounce off each other well, kind of like how Jericho and Owens bounce off well against with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah.
We're also two very funny, very good talkers.
Yeah.
So I think they would play well with the New Day. I don't think they're going to do it, though.
Because
I don't think Jericho and Kevin Owens are going to be a team that much longer.
Oh.
I think Jericho's going to interject himself into the Universal title picture.
It's heading towards a crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think the team of two like singles competitors put together that are going to feud for a while with the New Day is going to be Cesaro and Sheamus.
I hate Sheamus.
Everybody does.
Then why is he there?
Why do they keep pushing these people?
Because he's good at being hateable and nothing else.
But he's not hateable like, oh, he's a great villain. He's like hateable like
a
pimple.
Okay. See, that's how I feel about Charlotte. Yes.
There's a difference between being hateable and being a great heel. CM Punk was an amazing hateable heel. Sheamus is just boring on every level, despite being halfway decent in the ring.
The only problem is, though, is that they've got enough good wrestlers who can carry Sheamus in a match to where you can't tell that he's horrible in ring.
Like, I could tell.
He's so bad.
The match we're showing clips of now, a huge carry job from Cesaro. It was a great match because...
Oh, yeah. Everything that's happening is because Cesaro is doing it.
Yeah. And so I mentioned this Sunday when we were watching the pay-per-view. The thing was, Sheamus is a stiff worker. He's known to take liberties with the workers in the ring. Cesaro doesn't really put up with that and will go stiff, too, with some of the moves. So, they look like they're kicking the shit out of each other because they are.
Well, I can watch Cesaro walk around the ring all day.
Yeah, I've been having fun watching the Kinesio tape just grow and grow. Yeah. Every match, there's just more luchador Kinesio tape on him, which is...
There was even more Monday after the... there was one down
was
the other arm.
Covered. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to start calling him Antonio Karloff because he looked like the mummy.
He's so good.
He's so
really
much Kinesio tape.
So good looking. and not to like girl out or fan out or anything, but I'm totally in love with his Bond entrance that he's been doing. Him in a suit, good stuff.
Yeah, he does it. He does it for me. Sorry.
Hey, the look handy to Shopper was fantastic. He's like,
you have Paige, she has Cesaro.
His
okay?
face is well,
yeah, you have the infant Paige that you could play Legos with, and me and Cesaro can be adults.
Hey, Duplo. Test Duplo. Legos too mature.
Could have your Weebles.
Like I forget how young she is, and then I was watching Superstars and she's like, oh, I was signed when I was 18. I'm like, what the f-?
Yeah. So I actually watched her episode of Ride Along on the WWE Network. She's not too bright.
No.
It's seeing in her
that's
interview.
That's how Chris likes them.
And her interview on the Stone Cold
Dumb
podcast.
Dumb, young, and goth.
Yeah, she's
he's thumbs up in the camera.
She's a treat. What was even better was the Bella Twins trying to figure out what an odometer was called. That took about 15 minutes.
that took 15
like,
minutes.
That part in the car, you know, that tells you how many miles you've gone. What is that? The odometer, the speedometer, the what? Yeah. For 20 minutes. Like
now,
several segments of going back to them.
20 minutes of show time, which means at least 2 hours of driving time trying to figure it out.
Jesus.
They're not bright at all.
Yeah, but what were your final thoughts on the pay-per-view overall?
I mean, there were some points where I was disappointed and that matches that could have gone better didn't. I mean, one match really stole the show, which we mentioned before, Cesaro and Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
The Cruiserweight match could have made that list as well as a match that stole the show, but like all the great parts were in the last third of the match. The rest of it was all like slow down rest holds.
Yeah.
And so like, otherwise that one would be mentioned in the same breath as Cesaro Sheamus from that night.
Mm. I would say the highlight of the night was Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, which we didn't even really talk about that much.
I have to agree with you.
They had a great match. Their rivalry is going to be hopefully taken to the next level at some point. I hope Triple H reveals his motives at some point. Again, very good match. The matches themselves on the card were pretty good. The women's match, I agree with the ladies here, could have been a lot better. And I'm over Cesaro and Sheamus. I'm just over it. And let's try this one last time. Kane, if you do not work here, we're done here. We're trying to do this. All right. Kane, everybody, you can listen to Social Downfall Radio and stay tuned, sports. New episodes are every Thursday and Friday.
Well, looks like King's internet provider did not have their bootios today.
No, they certainly are very
they
booty.
Are booty.
They make sure.
I'm really glad that last week, Mike, you and I talked about WWE possibly bringing the New Day as the longest reigning tag team champions. I think last night was the final moment for Gallows and Anderson to capture the titles. Now it's clear as day to me now that New Day is going to break the tag team reign before they lose it.
Now, like, the only thing that's making me say no to that is depending on not so sure about that right now is what they're doing with Cesaro and Sheamus. That could throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing.
It very well could be, and we'll get more into this very weird tag team combination after the break. But before we go to break, coming up, we will have our Raw and SmackDown recap. Plus, normally we do things here as a top story. Well, the top story once again this week, Mike, is TNA Wrestling. What is going on with that? We'll have those answers and speculations, plus Raw and SmackDown recap when we come back right after this.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you 420 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Apparently my commercials are not up to par in the eyes of some in this room.
But what do you mean? They get to satisfy their need of professional wrestling.
Their one-stop Hammy, shop.
Hammy, listen, when it comes to recording voiceovers for commercials, you're a B-plus player.
He's third best.
That's it.
I had to.
What she's saying is you're the Clash of Champions of making commercial.
So subpar best then. Great.
We'll make your own fucking commercials.
Your commercials are as up and down as Trump's projected budget for the wall.
Up, up, down, down, like Xavier Woods' YouTube channel.
There exactly. We go, and we're back to wrestling.
And we're back to wrestling. All right, Brainstew Wrestling, if you want to call in and your name's not Kane, the Skype is Brainstew Radio. Just make sure your Skype connection actually works, or 908-854-4228, that's 908-854-4228, or tweet us at BSR Wrestling on Twitter.
Now, enough for the
plugs. I'm just kidding, Ken. Love you, buddy.
Enough for the plugs.
I still need you to make graphics, so I don't want to piss you off.
Enough for the plugs. Let's fill
King's
everybody.
King's a value member of the Brainstew family.
Yes, he is. Yeah. All right, so enough for the plugs. Let's fill everybody's need of professional wrestling.
Yes, so I just saw what you did there, you scumbag. All right. So let's switch over to our top story of the week. Mike, I can't believe we're doing this two weeks in a row now. We're talking about TNA wrestling here, and not in a good way, because it is a strong rumor that WWE is now back on the block for buying outright the rights to TNA wrestling.
I cannot wait for the middling and fall of TNA documentary to come out.
Yet, did TNA even have a rise? The answer, no. Not really. It was a lukewarm start.
Like, they rise like gluten-free bread.
Right. So
that was such a hipster reference.
It was.
It was pretty bad.
Whole Foods scumbag. So
suck my boss.
Screw you guys, I'm coming home. Screw you guys, I'm going home. New episode tomorrow morning.
Buddy.
Hand me Phillips lines, get over it.
Hand me lives matter.
Hand me certainly do. So
spam lives matter.
All right. So Monday night, it's not Monday Night Raw. TNA. You're making me lose focus here.
Well, hey, all right. Hey.
It's so much fun to do, though.
It's going
to
be great when Vince is in the impact zone ready to buy TNA.
I don't know how this is going to happen, but in short, guys, TNA is no longer, is currently not the moment, able to finance to put their October pay-per-view, Bound for Glory, up on the air. Bound for Glory is TNA's WrestleMania, Mike. And if the company cannot afford to put it on the air, and remember, before I even forget this, this is the second, this isn't the first time that paying the production people for Bound for Glory has come up. I think it was either last year or the year before that. We didn't know if Bound for Glory was going to go over the air, and then at the very last second, they somehow managed to scrape enough pennies to pay the production people to go on the air.
That they did.
So this is the second time in a five-year span that TNA Wrestling has not been able to pay the cost of putting their biggest show of the year on the air. What does that say about this company? In one word, done. It is done. I am done trying to defend TNA Wrestling. I am done trying to have hope for this company. Vince, buy it already. Get the library so we can acknowledge that AJ Styles did something before WWE. And let's see, oh, hey, wait a minute. Sting didn't take a nap after WCW closed. He put a lot of years into that company as well.
And for those of you who don't know or don't know where the TNA Television Championship went, it was pretty much taken for TNA's Chapter 11. That's how
you know what this is? It's not Bound for Glory anymore. It's Bound for Bankruptcy. That's where TNA is going. Bound for Bankruptcy. When they have house events in minor league baseball parks, they can barely fill the front row. And now with this, I give Billy Corgan a lot of credit for trying to make this work. But Mike, it just isn't working. TNA is a sunken ship. You know what it is? It's the Titanic, and the bottom part is just about going down now. No. Jack and Rose are taking their big breath before they try to survive this.
No,
that's
no.
Where TNA is.
No, TNA's not.
Yes,
big.
That was a Titanic reference.
Yes, it was.
Yep. We actually got that.
Yeah, we understood. This is
I'm just acknowledging that I actually made a
movie, so, pop culture, television. Yeah.
So are you saying Leonardo DiCaprio is going to be sinking while resting on the TNA title? Slowly in the Arctic Ocean.
Hey, broken Matt Hardy needs a place to go, so why not bring him and Jeff Hardy back to WWE for nostalgic purposes and then let them go?
Matt, because
are
Jeff's
they even relevant since like Hot Topic Kids stopped being a thing?
Actually, Matt Hardy is the only thing worth watching on TNA right now.
Yeah, I mean, and funny, they're signing all these ex-WWE wrestlers, and now they're like, oh, by the way, Vince might be buying us. So, it's been a good run, guys. You've been here for about a few weeks.
What was your Facebook post say, Mike?
Oh, hey, Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. Welcome to TNA. Oh, by the way, we might be getting purchased by Vince. Oh, and we can't afford our next pay-per-view. Sorry.
So your top story this week, guys. TNA, by default, the number two wrestling promotion in America, cannot afford to put their WrestleMania on the air. What is either this Sunday or a week from the, Sunday?
This weekend.
They can't afford it.
Hashtag bound for chapter 11.
Bound for bankruptcy. Bound for bankruptcy.
Either one of them works. Bound for bankruptcy. Either way, TNA's not going to be around much longer. And yes, I know I've said this numerous times before and someone's bailed them out. I don't think anyone can bail them out. And they're still signing people to contracts knowing they can't afford a pay-per-view. They signed Cody Rhodes, even though, like, they signed him a week away from the pay-per-view that they cannot afford to run.
So why can't they afford to run it? And then what happens to the pay-per-view? Does it just not happen? Is it not aired? Or
I think something's going to happen before then. I think either Billy Corgan's going to throw some money, or they're just going to sell to Vince.
Okay.
But if they try to, and they can't afford the pay-per-view, then the show just doesn't get put on. Their problem is that their product at one point got so bad, people just stopped going to TNA shows. So,
I never hear it referenced except for
here.
Your show. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's infamous.
Like ever.
Brain to exclusive.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish.
At this point, that's how bad they've fallen. They're an exclusive to our show.
Here we go. As noted earlier via Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio, the time is running out for TNA to make a sale this week to fund Sunday's Bound for Glory pay-per-view and next week's Impact Wrestling tapings. Jesus Christ, I thought it was just Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
They can't even afford to tape their weekly wrestling show.
And they've got, like, a lot in Universal Studios, I believe, to do their tapings. I mean... Oh, wow.
WWE is said to be back in the mix as a potential buyer, but that would involve acquiring a tape library, which is what all WWE would want, acquiring select talent, which means maybe...
Kurt Angle, Matt Hardy. A couple of the younger wrestlers who they probably wanted, but then chose to sign with TNA, blah, 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 yada, yada.
One or two, yeah, less than five key people would thrive at WWE.
You know what? If this brings the American Wolves... to WWE, I'm all for
that. That's who I think would be the number one choice, because WWE wants to increase their tag team division roster, and the American Wolves would be perfect. I think they would bring back Matt Hardy, but not be broken Matt Hardy and be the entertaining spectacle he is now.
No, bring broken Matt Hardy. Make him feud with Bray Wyatt.
I think WWE would be too dumb to do that, and they would just have Matt Hardy
as
the Hardy Boys.
WWE is stupid in their execution of good ideas, but... Broken Matt Hardy's such a popular thing right now. They will try to milk everything they can out of that if this happens.
I mean, the dream promo would be Broken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. That would be the dream promo, but I don't think WWE would give us that good graces. So we're going to have to rely on you, YouTube video editors, to give us that promo.
Now, since there's two people who have no idea what we're talking about here.
At all. we're just staring at each other and like, yeah.
Matt Hardy has basically become the Bray Wyatt of TNA.
In what way? Just like
the bizarre promo,
bizarre
promos. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why. Just so you know.
Okay. Yeah.
PW Insider followed up on a story noting that Dixie Carter has had talks with WWE over the past week about selling her majority stake in the company, with at least four companies invested. Invested the company. It's become a complicated situation. Dixie Carter can sell to whoever she wants, which could put a wrench in Billy Corgan's plans to take over the company.
See, why are I feel the Smashing bad for, Pumpkins involved?
Because
in
Billy Corgan is a gigantic wrestling fan, and he truly believes that he can.
So
help
it was
TNA.
Like his pet project.
It's not really his pet project. Right. It's what he really wants to do.
Yeah,
he's been a fan of wrestling for years, and he wants to help a sinking ship stay afloat. And the sad thing is, there are so many obstacles in a way that he has to overcome. He'll drown before he escapes.
Yeah.
There's no way he can make this work. He'll thank Dixie Carter for this.
Yeah, he'll wind up spending all of his double album money on that, just and to not even possibly get TNA.
And I think Dixie would just sell the majority of the to WWE. I think she just wants to scrape whatever pennies she can get and get whatever she can for this and just get out.
Oh, and someone else I would want to see WWE take the contract of, EC3.
Yes, I want to see EC3. God, just imagine there's stuff he could do with Nakamura in NXT. That'd be great.
Or just his promo work in general. Like that's another guy WWE dropped the ball on with as far as keeping.
You're here.
Cheers. But no, like TNA is a gigantic shit show, so. Oh, and they got Moose, actually, from Ring of Honor. So that's another guy that I think WWE would be all over.
And your
Moose, I feel like that's a guy with a bowling shirt.
Moose is what my mother called me when I was a kid growing up.
Moosin?
I don't know if I could. Moosin. If I don't know if I should feel insulted or loved by that, but
both.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
Yeah, it's adorable. Depends on the connotation.
All right, and the other story we want to focus on before we get to Raw and SmackDown is Bobby Lashley. We remember him, Mike.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous amount of money in facing Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Would you
does Bobby Lashley know that TNA is tanking so much that he's trying to interject himself saying, hey, listen, let me face Brock Lesnar, guys, it'll be a big payday.
So Bobby Lashley was on Jim Ross's podcast and he said, quote, you know, I hear that all the time, and JR, you know as well as I do, it's not in my hands. If you ask me, I would say absolutely, and this is about facing Lesnar, but it's the powers that be. I think that there's enough fans who would love to see it. They've been saying it from day one. And you know what the funny thing about it is? I've never met Brock in person. Never crossed paths with Brock anywhere. So we don't even know each other at all whatsoever.
Hey,
Lashley is currently under contract with Bellator MMA as well as TNA. And Brock Lesnar's situation with the USC is complicated at best to say, because he was caught doping after his fight with Mark Hunt, and he is only part-time in WWE, so he can write up as much as he want. So do we even care about a Lesnar-Lashley matchup?
No.
I do, if
no.
it was an MMA.
I don't care about those two facing off in any capacity. I just don't care. Lashley's terrible. Like, he inexplicably got a major title in WWE, did nothing with it, then quit, went to TNA, and got all of their titles. At one point, he held every singles title in TNA. And he's horrendous in ring. I don't get it. He's a big muscular guy. That's pretty much all. And he's another guy that Vince wanted nothing to do with at one point, who TNA is just like, hey, we'll sign you and push you to the moon because we're TNA. Get over it.
Yeah. All right. Switching to...
I just think he's terrible. And I think they should have... If they were giving anybody from that stable that he was in the title, it should have been MVP.
Switching over now to Monday Night Raw. Fallout of Clash of Champions. I know, TNA, waste of time. So we opened the show with Rusev and Roman Reigns in a very, very long-winded matchup.
Yeah,
because Roman Reigns, your boyfriend, won the United States Championship from Rusev at Clash of Champions. So, needless to say, WWE pulled the old, well, night after you lose the championship, I demand a rematch card.
Yep.
Playing that hand again. And, oh boy, what a long-winded matchup this was. What a long-winded segment. What a very boring half hour of Monday Night Raw.
Whole thing was long-winded.
To be fair, their viewership was probably really low because of the debates, so they probably just did nothing.
They got spanked by the debates.
Oh,
yeah.
They probably knew
that, so they didn't do anything worthwhile.
Yeah. Usually when it comes to big events happening the same day as a WWE show, they'll do one of two things, depending on like how possible it is to salvage the night. If they think they can salvage it, they'll like have as many huge moments as possible, like a surprise world title changing hands or something like that, a surprise return. If they don't, they'll just rehash matches from the last event they did.
I don't think they were going to, pun intended, trump the debates.
well, ratings
their
are
card
in.
Was amazing. It was the best card ever. It was glorious. Somebody give me my spray tan.
The ratings from this past Raw, what they drew about 2.4 million viewers, an all-time low for Monday Night Raw.
Oh, wow.
And so Monday Night Football saw a humongous tank in range. But then again, it was the Saints and the Falcons, which are useless teams anywhere not in the South. And the presidential debate was, very much intended here, trumped everybody. With 84 million views.
Oh, but she's got a wire behind her back. Ah, conspiracy.
That is borderline Super Bowl level viewership for the debate. It's the highest rate debate we've ever seen in American history, but this isn't a political show. This is a wrestling show.
Hey, no. It counts because Donald Trump is a WWE Hall of Famer.
That's right.
There you go. Our possible future president, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't vote for Trump because he can't sell a stuff.
No,
not because of what normal people would think, that he's inexperienced, he's an idiot or whatever. He can't sell a stunner to save his life, so don't vote for him because
that's what I look for in a candidate.
Can they sell a stunner?
See, you missed your production career, Hemi. You should be producing campaign ads for Hillary Clinton.
Are you a politician?
Do you want to win the 2016
election? One stop shop for all your campaign needs.
Do you want your presidential fix?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't vote for candidates with the orange tan filter.
Sad Hammy.
Oh.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. Okay, I shouldn't have said that.
There you go. That's.
Oh god, the clucking.
That was great.
It sounds like Birdemic clucking is
fantastic. No, that's the sound quality's better.
Oh. Wait, so what? You didn't clarify which one.
Does it really matter?
No.
Okay. So Cesaro and Sheamus, their best of seven, their seventh match in their series, just, it was a draw. It was a no contest. It was really stupid booking. So then they go to Raw, and Mick Foley has this to say.
Last night at Clash of Champions, Sheamus and Cesaro culminated their best of seven series in a thrilling match, which unfortunately ended due to medical stoppage.
Wishy-washy stoppage.
Meaning that their best of seven series ended what was thought to be a mathematical impossibility, a draw.
Oh, they're not booing because they're trying to go on with the show. They're booing because this is stupid.
Yep.
This whole thing was a waste of time.
I liked you, Mick Foley. Your reality show is mildly entertaining. Why are you doing this to me?
Why are you guys marching him out there to do this?
So then Sheamus comes out, our favorite person ever.
How is this even a discussion?
Huh? Yes, Cesaro won.
When you set this best of seven series, Mick, you said, and I quote, that the man who was more physically dominant in the best of seven series would get a championship opportunity.
That's why I'm here.
But right, to Cesaro's credit, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
They both look like they just finished an
orgy. That kinesio tape.
All of it.
All.
That's about two.
So after some banter, Mick Foley had this to say.
You were never better than me, and I'm through with you. I'm here for my championship opportunity, and not look at your ugly mug.
Sheamus!
Championship opportunity.
Sheamus is right. Foley.
Your championship.
Sheamus is right.
When Europeans argue.
I was about to say, it sounds like a UN debate.
Yeah. Sounds like a town hall meeting in Scandinavia.
I'm right. Thank you, Mick.
And so are you. You're both right. You both proved that you could be physically dominant. You brought out the best in each other.
All right.
And I cannot in good conscience say that one of you was the winner and one of you was the loser.
I don't know. Let's have a match and find out.
Long and hard and deliberating.
It'll only be match 11 in the last 2 months.
I'm going to grant both of you championship opportunities.
So
there we go.
Fair enough.
What was the point of this best of seven then?
To waste your time.
Oh, no. It's coming up. Just keep
going. Oh, my God.
Right. Let's make it clear. These are not separate opportunities. You're going to be sharing the same championship opportunity. You're going to be contending together for the WWE Tag Team Championship.
Yeah.
Say what?
My thoughts exactly.
Can one of you explain to me exactly what are they doing with Cesaro's career? Because to me, they just have him all over the place. They're not pushing him properly. He's a massive talent. The fans like him a lot.
The
ladies love him.
The ladies do love him.
What I think the end game for
you
this
is... You get Roman Reigns, I get him. A deal?
I'd like to be... Never mind. I'm going to finish that sentence.
What you just said was, no. So the end game with this, is that eventually he's probably going to go to SmackDown.
So what, he's just going to be like, fuck you, Sheamus, fuck you, Foley, okay, I'm going to SmackDown.
So it was either Monday night or Monday morning, Daniel Bryan actually tweeted Cesaro asking when his contract with Raw is up. He'd like SmackDown would love to have him on the show. And he responded to something like the effect of, I'll look into it.
Okay, so they're setting it up with the fans that
he's
quote-unquote interested
we go,
in Raw.
Christopher.
So like...
That would be good to see Cesaro at the November 1st SmackDown, because we are going to go to that show.
Mm. Like, it could be that, they were going to give him the tag team title opportunity, but Cesaro's like, no, I don't want to team with Sheamus, and he just decides to
Who would
go
want
to SmackDown.
Team with Sheamus?
No one.
I don't know.
Wade Barrett
sucks.
Before he was fired. Mm. Or before he didn't. Very few people, actually, because Sheamus is a douche.
All right, we're pushing for time here, so the other highlight that I want to discuss on...
Drink it in, man.
On Raw was, well, the very predictable future of the women's division on Raw.
Oh,
Sasha Banks wants her rematch against Charlotte.
You know, Clash of Champions was once again my night.
I hate her so much.
I love her.
I hate her.
I love her.
I once again successfully defended the Raw Women's Championship and proved to all of you why I'm the queen of the WWE Women's Division.
What an evil,
yes,
evil
queen.
Smile.
Yes, queen. I love her. She's such a bitch.
So Charlotte does a little more gloating, and out comes Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks! You know what I am? I'm the money maker in the face of this division.
You pinned Bayley last night, and not
there's my girl.
Me. So let's face the facts that I am still owed my
Sasha.
One-on-one
I love her.
Rematch Queen Charles, and I want my rematch right
I just caught
now.
That.
You're a living legend in your own mind. But see, you need to learn as
She's
good as
boss.
You think you are. I'm just that much better.
What an evil woman. Her and Stephanie,
right,
best
you know
heels.
What? Okay. You
best
have
female heels
it.
In the company.
And I'll give these people what they want. I'll even give you what you want. I'm going to give you your title match.
All right.
Next week.
Oh, what a great way to get heat from the crowd.
That was great.
Because Sasha will probably win that match, and they don't want to waste
better.
It.
I love her. She's so fucking cool.
And she is.
They don't want to waste it on the week that there's a debate.
So I know it would have been a great idea to do it at a pay-per-view, like one they had this past week.
I'd wasted the opportunity.
I've given up trying to apply common sense to WWE booking decisions long ago.
So I thought long and hard about my hatred for Charlotte, and I kind of realized I think it stems from Dana Brooke always being there like her freaking little flying monkey. She does nothing. Sorry.
Why is it you say you do here?
She just has her terrible Ohio accent. She does nothing right. Like, again, how is she on the main roster? If they wanted someone who is less experienced to play the minion to Charlotte, there's a lot of better talent in the female division in NXT. And I'm not talking like the upper tier ones like Asuka. They could have even picked like some of the lesser known ones like a Billy Kay or Peyton Royce to be the minion, and they would have worked a lot better than stupid Dana Brooke.
You know who I think would have worked well is that girl Emma, the Australian girl.
Yeah, she got... Well, Emma was actually paired with Dana Brooke, and then Emma got hurt. That's why they put Dana Brooke with Charlotte.
Because
they're like... Fuck, we called her up. We gotta do something.
I don't understand the point. They're not a tag team. Dana Brooke barely wrestles. She just cackles and holds Charlotte's robes.
That's pretty
like,
much.
Why are they giving
the
her a paycheck?
That's the purpose of every minion and manager.
Ugh. Yeah.
That's the purpose.
And that's pretty much what she is because she's a liability in ring. Like, she's so bad, you're afraid for
then
the other talent.
Then fire her!
Again, I think trying to apply logic here.
There, all right, but she had all right. So why she won't get fired automatically is she's been there like not that long, so they could just be like, all right, you know what? We don't think you're working out, so we'll move you down back to NXT and let you train a little more. She's
but they're not doing that.
No, they'll find a way to write her out. So and that'll happen.
So one last thing we want to discuss on Raw, which is something that Mike wanted to bring up. As we were talking about what we wanted to do tonight.
So, all right. As those of you who've heard me talk about wrestling on radio shows have heard before, when a crowd gets lively and chants funny things, I'm typically for it. All right? Like, when there's a match that's just shitty and terrible, I'm for you chanting ex-wrestler names. When CM Punk left and you wanted to protest because of how they treated him, I was even fine with that. But I'm starting to get, and yes, I'm wearing a CM Punk shirt as I say this, I'm starting to get tired of them using the CM Punk chant because they did it during the match between TJ Perkins and Tony Nese, which was a really good match. I mean, it was one of the better Raw Cruiserweight matches since they brought the division back a week ago. And the crowd was chanting CM Punk, and then later on Randy Savage, which is typically saved for matches that are not doing well.
His feet. Inverted atomic drop. Oh, the spin kick caught him in the face. And now Perkins trying to change the tempo.
What annoys me, too, is that the same fans chanting CM Punk were the ones who were like, hey, WWE should bring back the Cruiserweights.
But they're not. I'm sorry to, like, interrupt, but, like, I'm not impressed with the Cruiserweights at all.
They've been putting
I
out
haven't.
I am. I mean, I liked their that little competition thing they did.
Yeah, the classic was.
Yeah, I liked TJ Perkins when he's not dapping, but.
But that's all he does. Like, I just, yeah.
But he does, like, a lot of, like, leg moves, a lot of jumps, a lot of flips, and I think he's pretty good.
I don't get it.
I need to rework his personality because it's stupid, but
yeah.
That's easy fix.
But it's not so much their actual wrestling. Like, from what I gather, WWE is, like, half entertainment, half sport, and the mic work is almost just as important as what's in the ring, and right. The mic work for this has been atrocious. And I will admit I haven't seen the, like, Cruiserweight Championship thing. I've only seen what they've had on Raw and the pay-per-view, and I'm just...
I will say I saw
I'm not
him.
Impressed.
I saw... Who did we see him fight? That one, his friend. That one guy. I'm being
oh, my
terrible.
God. Zack Sabre Jr.? No. Noam Dar?
No. It's like a big black guy.
Not Cedric Alexander, right?
No.
Wow, a wrestling show. Doesn't
anyway, and they were both, like, so good. And you could tell, I mean, they were clearly, like, friends, so that you could tell that they were, like, feeding off of each other really well. But, like, the moves they were doing were amazing. And he's not bad looking either. Seeing what he's done a few weeks ago, I'm holding out faith for him. I hate his intro, though.
Okay.
See, that's the only thing I like about him. I kind of love the 8-bit intro. I think it's besides his, like, pecs and abs, his intro is the best thing about him. Because other than that, it's just dab, 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 and look at me. I can
fly. I don't like his theme because it's every create your own fighter.
No. I like the 8-bit feel, and I like the 8-bit game feel.
But that's the point.
Like, it's supposed to sound like an 8-bit video game.
Yeah.
So here's my thing with the Cruiserweight division. Now, as far as the mic work and the personalities, you guys have to remember this. The guys that they decided, hey, we're going to have a Cruiserweight division. Oh, shit. If we took the guys who are not typically traditional heavyweights and put them in that division, that would take away half of our main event roster or more. So what they decided was to make the weight smaller and bring in just an influx of new talent and have most of them bypass NXT because they needed to fill the division, and thus that's why they did the tournament. TJ Perkins, they're kind of building it around. He's a great talent when I say this, but the main reason he's the Cruiserweight champion is because the two guys who are considered the favorite, Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi, did not sign with WWE. Uh-huh. So they might in the future, but because of that, they were like, all right, who do we give the championship to? They went with TJ Perkins as opposed to Grand Metallic or any of the other people who were on there.
So why wouldn't they put a Cruiserweight division in NXT first to at least make sure that they had a finished product?
They haven't called up all of the Cruiserweights yet. So, like, there's a couple guys like Gargano and Ciampa who were Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa. Because they still had indie dates they had to finish, and there's guys who still have indie dates they need to finish that they're letting do matches in NXT, so they're not having to travel with Raw while they're adhering to their dates that they agreed to before officially signing and becoming full-time employees.
Yeah, I just like the fact, you know what? His music sounds like something from a Mega Man level.
It's supposed to, yeah.
It sounds like a Mega Man level, and you know what? Very funny comment on WWE Music's YouTube page about TJ Perkins. It's WWE's Little Mac.
Yeah. I can see that.
From Punch Out. That's a very funny comparison. It looks just like him. All right. Let's switch to SmackDown real quick because we are pressed for time. We need to sign off in a little bit. What is going on with Alexa Bliss?
Well, she's feuding with Becky Lynch over the women's title, the SmackDown women's title. So, she's going to be going at her as often as she can.
She's the Harley Quinn ripoff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So Alexa Bliss as Becky Lynch is making her entrance, Alexa Bliss attacks her, and this is her explanation at the SmackDown behind the scenes.
Alexa, listen, you have your match at No Mercy 1 week from Sunday with Becky. She was just getting ready for a match.
Boo-hoo, Tom. I don't care. See, Becky needs to realize something. I told her last week that she is a loser, that she was not made to be champion, that I deserve to be champion. So tonight, I proved a point. She needs to know and believe that she is the loser that I know she is. Now get away from me. You're annoying me.
All right.
Well, there's that.
That was stupid.
I don't like her. Every time she just flies, she looks like a toddler. Like, to me, she's the toddler of the WWE.
She looks like Angelica from the
Rugrats. Yeah, exactly. And then when
that
she
is
flips,
Angelica in her 20s.
There's literally times where she's sitting there, like, with her pigtails on the mat.
Yeah.
Just, like, throwing a fit.
No, I don't like her.
No.
Well, speaking of throwing fits, The Miz came out for for a homecoming celebration because he is from Ohio and they were in the Ohio area.
Although, all right, his promo was pretty good, but it was also
it was very good.
Dolph Ziggler's best mic work too.
This is my hero's welcome because I will tell you I am the only hero in Cleveland. Long before this city was so desperate for a title that you opened your arms to a traitor like LeBron James, I was winning the main event of WrestleMania as your WWE champion.
Shots fired.
Notice in the background, though, with that LeBron comment, some people were clapping.
I think more people were booing.
No, but yeah, you get like there were some people directly behind The Miz, like shown in the camera. Like you could see clapping.
But do you think they were clapping out of appreciation of the insult or they were clapping at
No,
LeBron
there are some
James.
Cleveland fans who still hate LeBron.
Yeah.
Even though he brought him their first championship.
Yeah, so they shut up, Cleveland.
I mean, who'd you have before LeBron James? Stipe Miocic, the UFC champion? My thoughts exactly. And Johnny Manziel's liver. Those were your two champions, Cleveland.
No, you see, Johnny Manziel's liver is not a champion. It's like second round pick at best.
If you could take that much liquor and still survive, that's a champion in my heart.
To a traitor like LeBron James, I was winning the main event of WrestleMania as your WWE champion.
Those are half-hearted claps.
And now I am happy to celebrate day 176 of The Miz's never-ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour. In front of the only two decent people in this entire arena, my parents. Mom, Dad,
oh,
please stand.
Oh, The Miz's dad. Let's see. Does he have... Oh, he's still got the glorious white trash hair.
Parents, Cleveland.
Wow. Look at that mustache.
That's a wrestling dad if I ever saw one.
If that mustache doesn't say Trailer Park, I don't know what
he
does.
He looks like if the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, just let himself go a little bit.
She looks like Reba. I'm just saying.
She looks like Sable now.
My wife just informed me that Dolph Ziggler's parents are actually here tonight as well. Mr.
Holy shit, his dad
looks just like him.
Yeah. Really hard
There's
for
no
you.
Doubt.
Oh my
because
god.
You two created a world-class elite-level loser.
And Q Ziggler. Hey, he could have mentioned them wearing a Browns jacket shirt too.
I don't like Papa Ziggler's no sell here.
Yeah.
We know you know it's part of the show, but act angry.
Act like it. Act like you're part of the show.
So that, of course, leads the Shawn Michaels wannabe, that's Shawn Michaels tribute band, to come out to the ring and deliver a pretty epic promo to The Miz.
You must be so proud.
Here we go.
You're right, man. This is all I have. This couple minutes a night, 300 nights a year, this is my everything. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone when they know that I live for this. This is what I love. But you know what? Sometimes things you love don't always love you back. and you can give, 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 and sometimes you get nothing in return. You get nothing. And you have friends and family and fans coming up to you, tell you, why do you still do it? Why are you still here? Why do you subject yourself to this every night?
He, fun fact, he also said the same thing when he was dating Amy Schumer.
She said the same thing too.
It's because I can't stop. I can't. It's a sickness.
I can't stop.
And maybe my career didn't always turn out the way I thought it would, you know? I thought it would have been better. I thought I earned something. I thought I would be a bigger star, but you know what? I just can't stop myself. I can't, but you put that title up one more time. Listen to me, Miz. Put that title up one more time, and I'll put up my entire career.
Wait a second. Did you just say that you'll put up your entire career?
Now the Miz is going
right. Your entire career. And I'm not talking about when I beat you, that you go to Raw or NXT, that you take a 30-day sabbatical. You are done and out of WWE because of me.
Your title, my career. I either walk out champion or I'm done. Either way, I'll be out of my misery.
In 2 weeks, No Mercy. Your career versus my title. And if you're not willing to hang up your career, I'll hang it up for you.
Can I just say, The Miz has put on some of his best work I've ever seen.
Both of them have.
Yeah. Since the brand split, and these two feuding, it's been one of the better feuds in SmackDown.
So what do you think is actually going to happen to Ziggler?
Well, the rumor is, Mike...
Yeah, rumor is he might not be re-signing with the company and his contract is up in a couple of weeks. So this might be their way of just writing him off TV. Or those rumors are BS and this is their way of having him win the title.
And surprising the hell out of everyone.
Yep.
Oh my God,
he did it. The big emotional moment. Or, oh, there goes Ziggler. Exit stage left.
We'll miss you, buddy.
That was a good speech. I wonder if he is leaving because that speech was pretty emotional.
Yeah, there was something truthful behind it. Yep. Even if he is considering resigning or whatever, you could definitely tell how he feels about how the WWE has treated him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's more than like, if the rumors are true, he's more than likely not resigning.
There were tears welling up in those eyes.
Yeah.
And that's...
And he's not that good of an actor.
Yeah.
He's not.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen with that, but what we do know what's going to happen is we're going to be back next week. We're going to preview No Mercy. Lovely ladies in studio here, they're going to bring you another episode of Good Girls, Bad Thoughts every Monday, 9 a.m., and we're going to give you a new brand new episode of Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home tomorrow, as well as a new episode of Social Downfall, as well as a new episode of the High Spot Podcast. We got a lot of content coming your way the Brain Stew Radio Network. So, on that note...
And I want to go to a 30 Rock podcast that you forgot to put up the date supposed to go up every Tuesday at 9 a.m.
Breaking the fourth wall there.
And, by the way, which has two episodes in the can that haven't been posted yet.
Did I say we're going to give you new content? Yes, I did. I'm one man. I can't remember all of the 8-plus shows that we have on this network. Yes, go to BrainStewRadio.com, check out the schedule, all the shows are there, and follow us at BrainStewRadio on Twitter and BSR Wrestling on Twitter, and I believe, Tess, you just made a account for I Want to Go to There, right?
Yes, go to their podcast, number 2.
There you go. We'll see you next week, guys. This is BrainStew Wrestling. Have a very lovely evening and week. I gotta be before